Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 516. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. Both of them are free of charge, including the postage and handling. I have some exquisite Bible scriptures for you today to mold up your spirit so that it'll be capable of growing up to the fullness of the stature of Christ so that you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. After all, we are the body of Christ, and we are also the bride of Christ. Now, Christ is perfect. He was absolutely perfect, and he demands to have a perfect bride. He's not going to be united with a bride that is imperfect. And the Bible tells us that we have to be perfect without spot and blemish. And the only way that we could do that is if we had the power of God in us, the grace of God. By the grace of God or the power of God, we are able to be perfect because it's the Spirit of God that enters into us and makes us, mortifies our old flesh, mortifies our soul, it mortifies the desire to sin or to have anything to do with sin, Satan, or the world, and gives us the power, the strength. Now, the Lord is ever present. He told Moses. Moses asked him, "Well, who am I supposed to say sent me when I go to Pharaoh?" And he says, "I am the I am." He didn't say, "I was," or "I'm going to be." But tell them, "I am ever present with you. I'm with you." And everybody should know that if they want to have the Spirit of God in them, if they want to be born again of the Spirit, God is in you. And he is not going to be, he wasn't in you maybe yesterday, but he's in you now. He is, "I am now," right now. And so when you want a healing from the Lord, or you want anything from the Lord, all you have to do is pray to him, and he is, "I am that I am." Amen?
Amen.
Let me read that scripture to you. Okay, this is in Exodus 3, 13 and 14. And Moses, and everybody knows who Moses is, right? And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name?" Okay, the children of Israel, all of them want to know. He's thinking in the future here. If they say that, "What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am. I am that I am." Amen?
Amen.
I'm not was what that was, or what I'm going to be. It's I am that I am. I am right now. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm ever present. And if you don't follow me, then you're all going to hell. And the same thing with Pharaoh. And so he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am sent me, hath sent me unto you." The ever-present God, the one that's going to open up the, going to destroy the people, the whole nation of Egypt, and the one that's going to open the Red Sea. I am the one that's going to be with you and open the Red Sea as well. Amen?
Amen.
And protect you from the 10 plagues that I'm going to pour out on Egypt. So this is the Lord. When he had finally accumulated enough chutzpah or nerve to go to Pharaoh and tell him, "God said," okay? And God said, if you don't let them go, there's going to be this plague. The water's going to turn to blood. And to show you that God am with me, the water did turn to blood. Amen?
Amen.
And so people don't realize, but he's the same God yesterday, today, right now. And tomorrow will be right now. And the next day will be right now. He's with people. But if they lose sight of the fact that the Lord is right with them all the time, then they won't call on him. But I love that scripture because it tells us that the Lord is ever present. And all we have to do is call on him. But some people look so worried. Will he really do that? Did he answer Moses? Did he answer what Moses said would happen? He told him what was going to happen. Then Moses told Pharaoh. And then when Pharaoh hardened his heart, God did it. And he kept doing it until they thrust them out of Egypt. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I also have letters today. And I've got music. But right now, let's go. And I'm going to expound on the Word of God a lot. I've got a lot of scriptures. So let's go to the throne of the Lord. And the throne of the Lord is in our hearts. There's so many people, like, for instance, I've talked to a lot of Mormons, and some Mormons are my friends, but I don't agree with their doctrine. They think the temple is a man-made building, but the temple of God is us, amen?
Amen.
We are the temple of the Lord. And so I don't believe that when they say they're going to build a temple in Israel, that it's going to be God's temple, when especially when God keeps saying throughout the New Testament and parts of the Old Testament that we are his temple. Amen?
Amen.
We're where he lives, all right? So, Father, we say thank you for your word, because your word is divine. Your word is your judgment. Now, we are judged by your word on a continuous basis. And why is that? Because your word says that all of God's ways are judgment. Everything that you judge everything. It's like we're computers, and you're the major computer, and everything that we do is tacked right in there. When we falter, it's only because we don't believe that you're there, that you are the I am, every single moment of every day. And I hear people give testimonies that they didn't know that, but now, even a friend of mine, Gary Paxton, wrote a song, Father, that says, you were there all the time, and you were there all the time. And so we pray to you, Father, through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that you anoint this program, and that every word be inspired by the Holy Spirit that's set on this program, and that, Father, you open everybody's hearts and minds and spirits, that they put on the entire mind of Christ, and that they hide you, the Word of God, in their new spirits, in their new hearts. You've taken that stony heart and broke it to pieces, because your Word is like a hammer, and it breaks hard hearts. So that the spirit, your life, your eternal life, your immortal life can live within us. And we thank you for it, Lord. And we ask all these things. We ask that you destroy every work of Satan. And I mean it, Lord. I know that you're I am, and you're hearing, you're ever present, and you don't have us praying for naught. And I know that this prayer is coming from you. Bind the devil, Father. Bind him. Destroy him. He hates the things that we're saying, the word that you are, because he knows that the word of God is capable of saving people's souls, and does save souls, and gives us, your people, strength to continue on in perfection. In perfection. To continue on in perfection until the end. Because only those who continue on to the end shall be saved. And therefore we have to stand or lean on your word. We have to really keep receiving it, because Satan snatches the word out of people's hearts the minute that it's preached in, if they don't guard their salvation. Our will is to be nailed to the cross. Our cross, your cross, our cross. We're to take up the cross, deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow you, our cross, on a daily basis. And so people fall away when they don't. They get discouraged, and they let trials and tribulations get to them too much. Bind the devil. give people faith in your word. Faith comes by hearing your word, because your word is perfect and your word is true and your promises are true as well, Lord. So therefore you said, call on me and I will hear you and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things. So Lord, I stand on your word. Destroy. Father, rebuke the devil in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'll give you all, and everyone in the church will give you all the praise for doing it. And all the praise and the thanks and the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. So, you know, if you're not excited about the word of God, well, there's something terribly wrong with you. You must be dead. Morto. Okay, now, one of my very favorite persons in this world was J.D. Sumner. And I liked singing with him and the Stamps Quartet. J.D. used to come over to the house all the time in Nashville. And we did sessions together, and I made clothes for them, designed clothes for them. And I've done a lot of recording with them. And here they are, J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet, with the song that J.D. Sumner wrote. It's called There's a Rainbow. J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. Fabulous. All right, now, we have, I've got some letters here for you. Where's the first one from?
From Zimba, Malawi, Africa.
All right.
Dear Pastor Tony, I am very grateful in writing this epistle to you, and I am filled up with the joy of the Lord after distributing your newsletters to the people. Many people have thanked you very much for bringing their souls from the synagogue of Satan to the kingdom of God. Many people here are receiving Jesus, and the words in the Bible in Acts chapter 2 are being fulfilled. The Word of God has life, and the Holy Spirit is transforming the lives of many people. Please, Pastor, continue sending me your newsletters and other spiritual items, which can facilitate me in reaching the other parts of the area with the living message. May the angel of the Lord encamp all around those who fear him and deliver them. Psalms chapter 34, verse 7. Pastor, I request the literature listed below, and I would like to let you know, Pastor, that I am lacking a printer for reprinting the literature. I pledge to you, World Pastor, that I will work for the Lord the rest of my life. and I ask you to keep on praying for my family so that light would shine where there is darkness. I and all in Christ here greet you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God bless you and favor you, Pastor. Yours in Christ, Acton, from the Zimba Police Station in Zimba, Malawi, Africa.
Okay, well, let's find out how much a printer costs out there, and we'll see if we can send it out. Maybe some volunteer will send some money in here so we can start sending printers out, and it'll save us a lot of postage. Okay, and where's the next one from?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony, warm wishes to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you very much for the newsletters you have sent to me. I have received them all. I have read through some of them, and they have helped me very much. Also, I went into town distributing them, and some people told me that the newsletters have helped them also, just like they helped me. Dear Pastor, how wonderfully God is using you as His servant. Really, your newsletters are a blessing to people, and they are accepting Jesus as their Savior. I have been telling many people about your testimony and about your ministries and giving them your literature. I am wholeheartedly doing the job. Me and my friends decided a long time back to serve Christ and to win souls for Him. It is my privilege to serve God. We want you to send us your literature regularly along with some Bibles for the souls we win for Christ. Please also send us your T-shirts in large and extra large. We will wear them when we are going out for evangelism. Please, we also need some of your CDs and tapes also for distribution to the people who we will win for Christ. Please, we need your help because we are youths and we want to do the work of God. Please help us with all the necessities every month. Please do it for us and for God. Amen. Thank you and may God bless you. Your faithful friend, Roxanne from Agona, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, well, just email us in when you're getting low on literature and we'll just package up a whole bunch more and then also... they need to tell us, anyone that's calling in for these printers and all that, how much they are, okay? And then, do you have anything else?
Yes, from New York, an email.
Okay.
It says, please tell Tony I thought this message on perfection is great. I love it. It feels good to hear the sound doctrine he teaches in the midst of a world that is completely lost, even professing Christians. Tony is the most right-on teacher of the word I have ever heard. And I know that that is the discernment of the Lord. Praise the Lord, Tommy Richards.
Well, praise the Lord. Being it is that you like that message, what it is, folks, in case you didn't hear that message of perfection, it is so many scriptures in the Bible that tells us that we must be perfect. And there's a lot of false teachers, and the Lord warns about them five times in the book of Matthew chapter 24. To watch out for these false teachers because they'll lead you astray. They say, well, nobody's perfect. Well, let them speak for themselves because you and I must be perfect if we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we'll just read a few more of those scriptures about perfection right now. Genesis 6:9. These are the generations of Noah. Okay, you got Genesis 6:9. Noah was a just man. And perfect. I thought nobody was perfect. But this is the word of God, and God's word is true. And everybody else is a liar. And so, a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now, if you're walking with God, there is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And if you're not walking in the... That's a law. That you must walk in the of this law, which is in the Spirit. It's a spiritual law. And if you're not, well, then you're not perfect. And you won't be able to get into heaven. So, and then, if you're not walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, well, then you're walking according to the law of sin and death. Because people lie. And they'll call their leaders people that are really right on, more than anybody in the world. And they'll say, that isn't true, when you're telling them something. And you know that they're as crazy as a loony bird. Now, Genesis 17:1. And when Abraham was 90 years old, and nine, that's 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, do you think that God commands that people be perfect? If you can't be, what kind of a sadistic God would that be if he told you to do something that you couldn't do? It's just like he says, no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And, of course, the international law today says drunkenness is a disease. Do you think that God would send somebody to hell just because they had a disease? No. Drunkenness is not a disease. It's imperfection. And people need to be born again of the Spirit so that they can have the power of God in them to mortify that drunkenness in them. And the devil in the international government is just making up stuff to cause people's souls to go to hell. If they think it's okay to be drunk and it's just a sickness, well, then we'll all just be drunk then. I'll just be a drunk. This is crazy. No, God commands you to be perfect. He's not letting any drunkards or any drunks or whoremongers into heaven. Do you think?
No.
Absolutely not. Okay, so I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Why did he want him to be perfect? He wants all of his apostles and all the people that he calls to be leaders to be absolutely perfect so that they can lead many people into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Deuteronomy 18:13, here's another one. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. That's a commandment to the entire nation of Israel. Thou shalt be perfect. Well, what are you going to do, God, if we're not? He dropped every single one of the old-timers on the desert, probably around 3 million people, except for Joshua and Caleb, because they were not walking perfectly in his word. Now, if he'll put his chosen people to death like that for disobeying him, then what do you think he'll do to you? Now, they just killed the head of this country, Pakistan. Now, they have what they call black water. Now, this is Bush's, actually it's the Vatican's band of mercenaries. There's 75,000 of them, and they're called to be a mercenary group to protect President Bush and all the people that he wants to protect. Well, he called this woman that they just killed today. He told her, go back. She was in exile for 8 years. And he says, and then we'll completely exonerate you. Well, when she got in, they killed her. So that was the setup, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, well, Bush does what the Pope tells him to do. So he's got 75,000 trained troops. They all wear black suits. You remember they showed up over in New Orleans during the trouble over there, and they're over in Iraq guarding special people that come there. Well, if this woman was so special, why didn't, and Bush knew that her life was threatened many times, why didn't he have those troops protect her? These people are trained to do what the Pope wants them to do. It's an army that is not the army of the United States of America at all. It's a militia of people so that the government can't be blamed in the event that they kill you or somebody. And they're primarily to guard just the elite. And they're paid more than, from what I understand, 2 to 3, 4 times more than Johnny Doughboy, the guys over there that are fighting. And they are using all kinds of sophisticated weaponry. Now, so they're not perfect, are they?
No.
Bush isn't perfect, and it's for sure that the Vatican isn't. Matter of fact, it's the Antichrist. He's just one of the boys in the Antichrist regime. Now, Deuteronomy 18:13. Verse 13 here. This is verse 13. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. All right? Now, Deuteronomy 25:15. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. In other words, you're to judge all things according to God's word, because all of God's ways are judgment, and he said for you not to judge with your own judgment, like the Bushes, the Clintons, the Reagans, and who are puppets of the Vatican. A perfect and just weight and perfect and just measure that thou shalt you have. Perfect. You'll have a perfect and just weight, and a perfect, not a little bit wrong or a little bit, just a little bit right, but perfect weight, and a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land. If you want a long life, then you do that. The judges are going to die young. All the judges that judge with an imperfect weight and an imperfect measure, they have certain people that they like to let go. And they let murderers go, first-degree murderers. And so their days are not going to be lengthened, they're going to be shortened. In the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now Leviticus 22:21. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice, this is back when they were offering animal sacrifices, and they had to be perfect so that they are proper symbols or types or figures or of the Lord Jesus who is going to come. These sacrifices were temporary because they were just pointing to the Messiah, the perfect Lamb of God. So whosoever offers a sacrifice of peace, offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, because if we've vowed to believe that we have, that there's a Savior coming, or a free will offering, in beeves or sheep, these beeves or beef or sheep were symbolic of the Lord who is going to come to earth. It shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. So this is the Lord, and this is what the Lord says about his bride, the New Jerusalem. He said there is to be absolutely no blemish in any person. If there's a blemish or a wrinkle on you, any sin whatsoever, you're not going into heaven. You may think you are because of stupidity, but you're not. Why? Because God doesn't say something and then change his mind. Amen?
Amen.
Now people say, well, he did change his mind when he said he was going to slaughter all the people of Israel, except the youth. Well, he didn't do it right away, but he says, I'm not going to do it right now. He was going to do it then, but he says, not one of them will set foot. Not any of those transgressors will set foot in the Holy Land, which is a symbolic of heaven. And anyone that, God remembers everything because it's on the computer up there. Okay, people that know about computers, I don't know anything about them whatsoever. All I know is it's like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1. Now, before we're going to serve the Lord, we have to determine. We have to be determined to do it. There has to be a determination. When the Lord came to me, I said, that's it. I was doing a big promotion then, and I was really involved with it, and I loved doing what I was doing. But immediately, without any thought whatsoever, I threw this promotion that I was doing of this singer, and the trash, and I just tell them, go and do whatever you're going to do. I spent a lot of money on it. I did a billboard, and you can call billboard and ask them about it. Everybody in the industry that's been in there for a few years knows about that promo I did. It cost around $300,000 just for the billboard ads that I bought. And then I recorded the person. And then I bought him new clothes and everything and fashioned him and let him ride around in a Cadillac because I didn't want anybody to think that he was broke. He didn't have two dimes to rub together when I first met him. And we did the Dick Clark Show, and then we went to Windsor, Ontario, and Detroit, and Cleveland, and did some gigs there. I didn't even want any money for it because I wanted the publicity, because these people were playing, these DJs were playing his record. And I had to determine in my heart, you know, that I was going to do this. I was going to make him the biggest star that ever happened, because he wrote better songs, just as good as the Beatles, if not better. And, of course, I have all those masters today. And back then, as this is going back over 40 years ago, they were really hit. We hit, I released about five of them, and we hit number one on different stations all over the country within a day or two. So I was determined, and the Lord tells us that we have to be determined to serve Him, because the Lord comes and helps us with the Holy Spirit. He's our helper, but we have to be determined to do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Because if we're not determined to do what the Lord says, we're not going to do it. You have to make up in your mind that I'm determined to serve the Lord. And why? Because my soul is the only thing that I really own. And if I don't determine in my heart to let God live in me and then use my determination to follow through with what I see in the Bible that He wants me to do, I'm not going anywhere but down. And Solomon, 2 Chronicles 2:1, determined to build a house for the name of the Lord. And did he do it?
Yes.
Yes. So he was determined to build a house for God and a house for His kingdom. And he did what he determined to do, because you're not going to do anything if you're not determined to do it. Isaiah 19:17, and the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself, because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. Okay, there's a lot of people that are absolutely bound and determined to go to hell today. They're determined to look at pornography. They're determined to lust in their hearts and their minds and their soul. They're determined to go to hell. Well, we don't believe we're going to hell. Well, the Bible says you will. God says so. And if the Word of God doesn't mean anything to you, there's people that are determined to get abortions today. Well, that's committing first-degree murder. And if you had fornication, you weren't married, and little kids in school that have reached puberty to where they can actually mother or father a child, and they find out that they're pregnant, these women, because they're women when they reach their adulthood. Well, they get determined, bound and determined to go murder this little kid that's in them. And they're bound and determined to get fornication. Why? Everybody's doing it, ain't they? Yeah, they are. Not everybody, but most of the people are. And there's people that are determined to get drunk and people that are determined to lie. They've got a very checkered past. And they won't own up to it, even though they know that God said that they have to confess their sins. They don't. And so they're going to hell because they're determined to disobey God's commandments. They're determined not to read His Word. They're determined not to listen to these tapes. They're determined not to go witnessing and testifying when the Lord, they know that the Lord wants souls saved. They're determined not to study the Bible. Now, Isaiah 28:22 states, "Now, therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong." Well, yeah, in other words, you get so hardened against God. "For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth." God's going to consume the whole earth. He's determined to do it. It says, "Even a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth." God is determined to burn this earth up. He was determined at one time to drown the whole world. Did He do it?
Yes.
Yes, He does what He determines because He's got the gumption and the power to do it. God, I'm going to destroy this whole earth with fire. He's determined it for sure. He's going to do it. Now, Daniel 9:24-27. Well, it talks about the 70 weeks, which a week in the Hebrew means 7 years. So it's 70 weeks, that means 70 times 7 years, are determined upon the people, thy people, God's people, and upon thy holy city, which is Jerusalem, not Rome, folks, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. Well, God determined to do that. Did He send somebody here to put an end to sins?
Yes.
But there's most of the people are determined not to stop sinning. And to make reconciliation for their sins, for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. That's what it means when the Lord enters into you. Well, then you have the power, the grace of God, or the power of God in you, which is the Holy Spirit, to bring you to everlasting righteousness, to do the right thing. In other words, the judgment of God, so that you no longer are judging you with your own judgment, but you're judging by God's word. You can take the least esteemed person in a congregation, set the Bible before them, and they can see what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do, because it's God's judgment, and you don't have to feel, well, maybe it's right or wrong. It's really God's word, because I know past going on 44 years, that when I do what the Lord says to do, everything runs smooth, like the finest tuned wristwatch, even more so than anything. When I do what He says, I get instructions from the Lord, and everyone can do the same thing. And to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, this is verse 25, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now that happened because there was a king that told saint to go and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah. The prince shall be 7 weeks. So that's 7 times 7 years. And you can figure out exactly when the Messiah is coming by this prophecy right here. And so it says 7 weeks and 70 weeks and 72. So that's 7 weeks and 72 weeks, the street shall be built again. I've been in the in Jerusalem, in the old Jerusalem, and new, they rebuilt, and the wall, even the tr- troublous times, in the most troublous times, and after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, in other words, killed for the sins of the world. This is a heavy, heavy, heavy prophecy. But not for himself. He didn't do anything wrong. He came and did it for us. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end, therefore, shall be with flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Well, God has determined all these things. Amen?
Amen.
So they came to pass already. Amen?
Amen.
The Messiah did come, and he was cut off. And he shall confirm the covenant, the blood covenant, with many for 1 week, for 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So it says the determined. You have to be determined to serve the Lord. You can't just sit there and live a everyday humdrum routine life. Because what I do is I get up and I wonder what God has got laid out. Because God can change the course of everyone's life in one split of a second. And so I always wonder, what has the Lord got determined for today? Daniel 11:36 states, "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation," in other words, God's indignation, "be accomplished. For that is determined." Whatever God has determined shall be done. There's no getting away from it. Now, you may be into music or some nothing type thing, and you might just be forgetting about that, and you just want to hide yourself in some craft or something, but that which God has determined shall be done. Now, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8, "Therefore wilt ye upon me, saith the Lord." The Lord says, "Wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination," you know, our determined in my heart, "is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." So God is determined to do that. Now you say, well, that's Old Testament. Here's New Testament, Luke 22:22-23. "And they," and truly, "the Son of Man goeth as it was determined." In other words, God determined to, it says, "it pleased the Lord to send his only begotten Son to this world to see how many people would receive him." He's the Word of God. He came, he became flesh so that he could live a perfect life. And he wants us to live perfect, and he gives us the Spirit in us to do that. "But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel." In other words, God determined that these people, these weak people, could be used to accomplish the things that the Lord wanted them to accomplish. It's a determinant counsel. a bunch of wicked men. God's going to destroy them. A lot of people will tell you that they were doing the will of God. And in fact, they were, but they would do such a thing anyway. But God made them do it because he knew their hearts and knew that they had hard hearts. So he put Jesus in being delivered. He delivered him to the determinate council and foreknowledge of God. God knew these people and knew that they were a bunch of weasels. And so he knew they were weak and he could make them do that. Like if it's a person and the Lord tells me to nail a prophet to the cross, I'd say, not so, Lord. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to judge anybody that is a Christian and doing a good job. I'm not going to judge them. I don't believe this is you, Lord, and I wouldn't do it. But the Lord determined that these wicked people and also Pharaoh were a bunch of weasels. And so he set it up so that they would do the things that everyone, that God knew. He had the foreknowledge of God, that is. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. This determinate counsel. Now, Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 24 through 24. Ye men of Israel, hear this, these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know him, being delivered by the determinate counsel, because it was determined by God that to raise up this bunch of wicked men to do what they were going to do, and just let them go along with it. A lot of times people say, well, I know everybody is starting to smoke pot or something like that, and say, come on, well, I never ever thought to smoke pot or to have sexual relationships, but I see my friends are doing it, and I don't want to look like a cornball or a square, and so I'm going to do it. So he knows that there's a determinate counsel in you, and you go ahead with it. And he knew he would. He had the foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Hell couldn't hold him. Amen? And God, the Father, knew that, because God the Father was with him at all times, and so God wasn't going to place himself in hell. But he did all that so that people that are sinners could come to him and escape hellfire. Now, Acts 4, 27 and 28. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever they had, and thy counsel determined before to be done. So God, when God determines even to send his son to death so that a bunch of flaky people could be saved, and then when flaky people decide that they're, you know, intelligent, I remember I determined once the Lord spoke to me and I knew he was there, that was it. I threw in the towel. That's 44 years ago. Now, Acts 11:20, and I stayed, and I keep determining to do more and more as much as I can for the Lord. I just hope that he's determined for me to do even more. And I made a promise to Satan when he just was really tormenting me. And when I was a baby Christian, I said, whenever you do anything to me, I'm going to hit you a million times harder than you hit me. And I don't care what the government says. And I don't care what all these false people that are trying to set me up are doing. I'm going to keep it up. You do something to me, and I pray to God to destroy you. And he will. He told me he will. Yeah. Now, Acts 11:29 and 30. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judah. And you know something? People should at this time of the year determine to take the poor and needy and also those old folks in old folks' homes. We have a bunch of clocks and everything, and we've got fruit and vegetables, all kinds of things to take them. People should determine. Make a determination, because you're not going to do anything unless you determine to do it. In Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. They took stuff to them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Acts 20, verse 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him in God, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. All right, so Paul determined to do it. He wanted to be there. And so if you want to do something, if you really want to serve the Lord, if you want God to really believe that you're determining to serve him with all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, all your strength, then you're going to have to unite his commandment with your determination. Don't you think?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Because determination is a very important word. Acts 17:26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. Okay, well, I've got more here, but my time is up. And so, I mean, if you want to be saved, just hearing messages and saying, well, I'm not ready now, that shows God that you're not determined, even after he went through all he did and gave his only begotten son. Now, most people wouldn't give their sons, even if they're wicked. But God's son was perfect, and he wants you and I to be perfect. So, and the only way you're going to be able to do that is to invite the Lord into you. And the entire Godhead will come into your body and will live with you forever, eternally. Now, you're just temporal now, but the Lord will make you eternal if his spirit, if he'll let him in. Now, he went through a lot of trouble to do this for you. So say to the Lord, if you want this, and if you don't, you're rejecting him, and if you do, he'll reject you. He's determined to do so. So say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, holy, eternal God, rose him from the dead by your Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You won't turn me away. You won't, because you say that all that call upon you shall be saved. They shall be saved, and let them and put the determination in them too, Father. Therefore, I know that you've heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving the only soul that I ever had or ever will have. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Sharon, just keep praising and thanking the Lord. And Sharon, tell them how they can receive a copy of this program, number 516. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505. Or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I'm also I am right today, this right now. Amen?
Amen.
And so this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, tune in tomorrow for another powerful, powerful message from the Word of, from God through me. All right, and so right now we have a very beautiful song by J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet, A Soul Such as I.
Lord.